welcome to today's episode of Daily Musings. I'm going to talk about college, or as we call it here in Canada, university. And I wanted to share some of my takeaways from my experience of going to university. As an older adult, I basically feel geriatric at my age, being in class with all these like hip Gen Zers, and taking the full load of classes that I was able to take. So in the year 2022, my first year of ever attending university, I took 14 classes. So this was 5 classes in the winter, 4 in the summer, 5 in the fall. And that was the maximum allotted amount that I was able to take. So I kind of crammed my schedule as full as I could. I went through it, and at risk of sounding really overbearing or self-important, I want to start this video with a huge caveat that I'm not this like wonder child superstar university person. There are definitely people out there who are way more qualified than I am to talk about their experiences at university, people who are going to really fancy universities that are really tough, people who are, more exceptional students. I'm not those things. I'm going to a very like mid-level university. It's not like anything fancy where I'm at. I'm very, very far from Ivy League. I'm not like some overachieving superstar. I'm not the best and the brightest, but I do well. So anyway, that's the giant caveat. I'm not like some expert at university. I've been doing it for 3 semesters. So that's like a year and a half for most people. There's probably a version of myself senior year who looks back on this kind of commentary with a heavy eye roll, because it's like a little baby trying to talk all about the world. And that's sort of how I feel right now. But I thought that it still might be useful for some of you to get some perspective on maybe things that I've learned, lessons that I've learned personally, or takeaways that I have from my first year of college. So I'm going to propel ahead with that in mind, hoping that there's some value here and not just like a self-important tirade to look how awesome I am at school or something like that. That's not my intent. So it was a crazy move to go to school, honestly. It was kind of out of left field. I was feeling the desire to do something more with my, I had been sort of dabbling in writing a little bit. I'd been doing some research projects, and it all felt very informal. And I was like, why am I doing this in an informal way? Why not go to school? And then I got really addicted to the idea, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. And before we get into like the main takeaways, again, I want to highlight that I'm not the best and the brightest. I have met those people, and those people are not me. I've had classes with some really bright, talented kids who outperform me on a variety of things, who've outperformed me on papers and things like that. But I think that the one leg up I might have over some of these people who I consider to be like way more gifted than I am, let's say, is the aspect of consistency. I think consistency is the one thing that's allowed me to do well in college so far. I mean, there's, again, some other things too. But let's start by saying, okay, I finished 14 classes, and my average currently as it stands is 91%. And the lowest mark I've had in a class is 85%. And the highest mark I've had in a class is 99%. So there's quite the range there. The worst class that I did, the 85% was an English class, actually. It was Introduction to English. I find any type of writing class to be really, really hard to get good marks in. I found the same. I got an 86 or 87 in one of my history classes. It's really, really tough to get high marks in those kinds of classes. But if it's a psychology class where you're doing a lot of multiple choice questions and you're studying for tests, and it's not like formal writing, so I found those classes easier to achieve in. And then, of course, I also got a really good mark in my philosophy logic class, so that was really cool too. So I've had some high 90s. I've had a lot that are kind of just hovering around the 90s mark. And this is the thing about consistency. So there's these kids who are so talented, so bright, just crushing it on papers and things like that. But then they go do a test and they're like, man, I'm really exhausted and I'm just not going to bring my best energy to this today. Or they'll talk about an intro level class that they took where they didn't get a very good mark. Maybe they didn't connect with a prof. There was like some issue there. So they have probably, if I had to guess, an array of really high marks, but then they have a few lower ones, like in the 70s. And that's going to drag the whole average down, right? So I'm not smarter than these people by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just a little bit more consistent in my efforts. Another example is a classmate of mine did poorly in a language class, but excel at pretty much everything else. And that one poor mark in a language class is going to drag everything else down just a little bit. Where when I took a language class, notoriously difficult one at that, I took Japanese and I got a 91 in that class, which I thought I was really proud of. That was the one I felt like I really had to work for that mark. And the only reason that I pulled that mark off is because of consistent daily effort. With that Japanese class, and this is really the first topic that I want to share, the one big takeaway is consistency is super important. And there's a lot of different ways to approach consistency, depends on the class. With this Japanese class, the thing that I needed to do every single day was just practice it every single day. I did somewhere in the ballpark between 1 to 2 hours a day of Japanese. Depended on the day, depended on if I had to go through lecture material, if I was doing flashcards and all these other factors, if I was studying for a test. But this was a non-negotiable 1 to 2 hours a day. Even when I was in the throes of a really bad illness, I was still doing 1 to 2 hours a day, even when everything else was falling by the wayside. Losing a day or two when you're studying a language can be a major setback. So that's sort of 7 days a week, like this is non-negotiable. I think that was really the only reason. And maybe I have a little bit of knowledge of spaced repetition systems and I did something kind of like that with flashcards. I like using manual flashcards. Those kinds of things helped a lot. I did a lot of writing practice. I experimented with journaling in Japanese as I was going through. Like, there's a lot of little things that I tried to integrate that I think I have an advantage because I've read a little bit about language learning, but ultimately it's just time. It's just that, like, consistent plotting daily efforts that makes the difference. And 10 hours a week in one class is actually quite a substantial commitment. So that's pretty much all I want to say about consistency. I want to talk also about organization, because I think the only other reason that I can think of that I got good marks or that I've been able to like maintain good marks. I mean, yeah, maybe I'm not too bad at writing. I think being okay at writing is a big boon in college because a lot of what you do in college involves writing, but a lot of it is just being organized. I think the ability to map things out, not just individual assignments, but mapping out the week, mapping out the next couple weeks, deciding how you're going to study for an exam, mapping out your study guide. Those kinds of things I think are critically important. The reason that I tend to do really well on, say, for example, psychology exams is because I'm pretty good at mapping out the study material and creating study guides for myself that I can use effectively that force me to remember things where I'm not just like reading through my notes and calling that studying. I'm trying to like practice recall and stuff. And I organize my study notes in a way that optimizes for this. But organization in a general sense, on Sunday, every Sunday, I plan my week. And this is more detailed than just writing down study in some block of time and then study the next day. That's really vague. So what I actually do, I have an entire Excel doc where I just dump all of the dates and deadlines from my syllabi across all my different classes in that, and I organize it so that it's organized by dates, but I can kind of visually see I do a different color for each class. And I write down what the specific assignment is. This could be an actual assignment where I have to write something. It could be an exam deadline or date. It could be readings that I need to have completed by a certain date. Anything like that. I just dump it in. And if I have, and then what I do every Sunday is I look through that list. Okay, what's coming due? What readings do I need to complete by which days? And I fill in the study parts of my schedule in with those details. So instead of just writing, okay, Monday from 10 to 12, I'm going to study. I write Monday from 10 to 12, I'm going to look at the next astronomy lecture and complete assignment number 3 or something like that. And then I piece my schedule together like this with really specific action plans built into my schedule. And it's not going to be perfect. There is going to be times I drastically over or underestimate how long it takes me to do something, but I'm getting better at this as I practice. One other thing that I do with the schedule, I try to look a couple weeks ahead because that's when I can scan for really important activities that might be coming due. So for example, if I have a test coming up in 2 weeks, I'm going to actually start studying for that about 2 weeks in advance. Usually maybe like 10 to 14 days before a test, what I'll do is I'll create my study guide. I'll go through everything. Okay, these are all the things that are going to be on the test that I think are going to be there. I'll organize it. Usually I'll print it off because I like having a physical copy of what I'm studying. And then I'll dedicate somewhere between 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day until the test to go through the materials. And this daily thing, again, is really important. It's just like language learning. If I had a cumulative psychology test last semester where I had to basically memorize a whole bunch of terms and concepts at multi layers from Yeah, the whole class from 13 units from... It was well over 100 little bits, probably like 200 or 300 bits of information that I had to memorize. So having a really effective strategy with this, doing it 2 weeks in advance, chipping at it day by day, allowed those concepts to sink in. So it wasn't like this sort of last minute rush to stuff things in my brain. It was just this very like organic, natural memorization. And it went really well for me. I did pretty well on the test. And I know according to my class Discord that a lot of people did very poorly on that test. So it's that kind of organization that I think makes the big difference, where you have these people who are super bright, super sharp, they're really good at what they do, they're creative, but maybe if there's an organizational component lacking, they're not going to do as well as they could. So I use my organizational skills heavily because this allows me to leverage the fact that I'm not, I'm not like the most clever person in the classroom pretty much ever, but I can leverage that by, I'm good at organizing when I'm going to do the work, and I'm always prepared. I always do the work. I always do the readings before class, pretty much without exception. I don't allow myself to slip behind at all. So that's a big part of organization. So those two components alone, just being consistent and being organized, are the biggest things that have helped me. I mean, it's nice that I know how to read, and it's nice that I know how to write. Those are things that I've developed over my years in towards becoming geriatric in university years, that a lot of kids might in the younger demographic might not have done. I've just read a lot more books probably than the average 20-year-old. I've probably done a lot more writing than the average 20-year-old, and those are going to come in handy too. One thing that I've found also really useful is just keeping my chin up. This is a really lame little thing that I've learned, but I have this... One of my biggest challenges is that I'm very sensitive to criticism, and it's something I deal with all the time. It's something I'm working on. I always work on it. It's just one of those things about me. I'm just really sensitive. So that's what it is. If I do poorly on something, it's hard for me to brush that off. It's hard for me to keep my chin up. What happens instead is I tend to get this really self-destructive tendency where I'll do badly and I'm like, I'm just going to like do so bad, it's gonna like blow everyone away. How badly I do. I'm gonna lean into this bad. I'm gonna like go down in flames. I'm gonna be a supernova of chaos and destruction. So if I get a bad mark, there's this instinct to just like explode everything. I'm gonna do so bad. I'm gonna turn that 70 into a 60, and then I'm gonna turn that 60 into a 50, and I'll show you. I don't know who I'm showing. Again, it's a really sort of rebellious, self-destructive tendency. Fortunately, I'm a little better at having a calm head and not falling into that spiral where I might have a decade ago. But just like getting over it is tough for me. So that's been something that I've been continually practicing and that I know I'm going to have to keep practicing. That's something I practice when I make YouTube videos too, by the way. It's hard. I don't know that I'm ever going to get really good at that, but that's something I'm working on. Also, this one might sound kind of dumb too, but don't care too much. I think it's one of those. This is one of those things where I really care about university. I really care about the things that I'm learning. I'm trying really hard. I'm putting the best of my energy into it within the confines of my limitations, whether they be, you know, the limitations of being sick or dealing with some kind of emotional crises or whatever it happens to be. I'm always doing my best, and I really do care about getting good marks, about putting in... Actually, the marks are less important. It's cool that I get them, though. But it's more about putting in my best effort. That's something I'm very passionate about. So when I say don't care too much, I want you to not misinterpret that as, like, just sort of, like, passively shrugging your shoulders, like, school doesn't matter that much. It's sort of, like, bored passivity. That's not it at all. It's more being detached from the outcomes of my efforts. So if I do the absolute best I can, I put it all in there, I really care, and I still get a bad mark, then this is tied into the last thing about keeping my chin up. But I have to just a little bit detach from that outcome. I can't really control it. All I can do is my best. And then if I have a less than ideal outcome, it's just about, okay, well, can I learn from this? Can I integrate the feedback and do better next time? If I cared too much about the grade, and if the goal was getting a good grade, that would squash my creativity entirely. And I think this is something that people struggle with quite a bit. When you really want that like high quality end result, whether you want, like, I want to just make the best song ever, I'm going to write the best paper ever, I think there's some degree of that. That's cool. That's ambitious. Go ahead. But if you're really attached to that, then you're not going to be creative in the way that you approach it. You're going to kind of limit yourself and stress yourself out. So if I, for example, wanted to write the perfect philosophy paper, I might be thinking about it in a way like, okay, what's my teacher expecting? How do other people write really good philosophy papers? And then I sort of model it off of those kinds of ideas, as opposed to thinking about something that maybe makes me really genuinely curious, like a question I'm having about the reading is, how can I explore this question? Or what's a, maybe I'm taking a bit of a creative risk. Like maybe I read something and it gives me this idea. I'm like, I really want to explore this philosophical idea in this paper. And maybe it doesn't land. Maybe a lot of times it's not going to. The risk that I take isn't going to result necessarily in the teacher praising me with my originality. Oftentimes it's going to be a dud, but there are going to be times when by doing that, by not caring so much if I do well, I'm willing to take a little bit of a risk. And it's, I think, only through that risk that you're able to actually get good ideas once in a while. Otherwise, a lot of what you end up doing is just going to be derivative. And that's part of the university experience too, but I really have to keep holding this in my mind as well. This is a really important one for me. And a risk of sounding like a drill sergeant for this next one, my fifth suggestion, thing I've learned, is just no excuses. I sound like my mother when I say this. My mom is a very no excuses person. She's really inspiring. She gets stuff done. And what this really means is that personal crises are inevitable. And I think sometimes when people are planning for their semester, say, they assume that everything's gonna go smoothly. They plan for the best case scenario. They think about how the next 3 months, 4 months are gonna unfold, and they think of it with this like sort of shining optimism. That's cool. It's probably not gonna work out like that though. I think if you instead expect that bad things are gonna happen, expect to get sick, expect someone else to get sick, especially expect a crisis, expect something like, you know, people have mental health issues and they have babies and all kinds of things happen that you don't necessarily plan for that can throw a wrench into your just really nice, lovely semester template that you might have originally envisioned. And this happened to me in a really significant way last year. 2022 was a really difficult year for me emotionally. On a personal level, there was just a lot of upheaval. I had a loved one in the hospital for several months and just a whole bunch of chaos. I moved at one point. I mean, at 2 points, one to a different city temporarily. So the thing that I also did in the midst of these crises is I did not ask for extensions or exceptions or anything like that. I did not, aside from, I let a couple teachers know what was going on because it was relevant to whatever we were working on, but I didn't try to leverage the challenges that I was facing into getting sort of special permissions from school or to allow me extra time with assignments because it just didn't feel like, ultimately, I think for the, like, unless there's a funeral on the day of the exam or something. I mean, that's a really extreme example, but for the most part, even though I was in the middle of a crises, but if I was in the middle of a singular crisis, university actually acted as somewhat of a respite because I was able to immerse myself in an assignment or a reading or something that felt actually quite healing. And it was one of the least difficult things that I was dealing with at the time. It was like obviously university is difficult, but reading and researching is not as difficult as parenting. It's not as difficult as coping with emotional challenges and things like that. So, the no excuses thing, I think if you have this expectation of things working out perfectly and then they don't, it can be very tempting to then say like, oh, well, I'm sick this week, so I guess I can't work on my paper, which means I guess that I'm either going to have 2 days to do my paper or I could reach out to my prof and maybe they'll give me an extra week to do my paper. That kind of way of thinking, I think, is really dangerous because then you're sort of just postponing the inevitable at some points. And what if another crisis happens? Or I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me to do that. It's this very, maybe this is one of my old woman yells at kids with shaking fist on lawn or something like that opinion, my boomer opinion or something like that. But just like working through it and not letting yourself sort of get away with being lazy, I think is really important. I'm going to just let that point go because I feel like I know not all of you are going to agree with this. And it's not like I was being really hard on myself and that I wasn't being gentle and allowing myself to grieve and go through everything else that I was going through. And I spent a lot of late nights Googling medical conditions and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I was trying to keep the bigger vision in place. And the bigger vision is that graduating from college, maybe getting a graduate degree, etc., is connected to my deepest dreams and ambitions. And this is something that I want more than almost anything. It's really important to me that I do this. So if I were to be lenient when bad things happen, then it's going to impact my ability to do the thing that I really want to do. And this, in fact, is the thing that I really want to be doing. It's not the thing to be lenient on. There's other things that I would be a little bit more willing to be lenient on, like, you know, like chores, or like maybe we just order more takeout or things like that. Like there's other ways that I can simplify my life that doesn't involve trying to wiggle out some exceptions from my profs. And that served me really well. I've gotten through it. And again, studying for an exam is simple in some kind of way when the world outside is madness and all of these things. At least, even if it's not always easy to do, like hunkering down and reading or hunkering down and studying does provide a little bit of a buffer between myself and my pain. So I found that to be really useful. That is a way longer tangent than I meant to go on. So I'll just get to my last point quickly, which is the importance of being present. And the thing I'll finish with saying, one of the reasons that I was a high school dropout and that I did really badly in high school is because of, well, there's probably a lot of reasons. One big reason is attentional issues. So usually when I was in class, when I bothered to show up, when I was in high school, I would either be doodling or journaling or doing something else that totally had nothing to do with what I was supposed to be doing, which was pay attention to the teacher. Again, a lot of reasons for this. It was really difficult for me to concentrate on lectures, and I just didn't really care. I didn't know how to cope with that. I'm a little bit better at it now. I figured out a couple ways to trap my interest. So I use a laptop for taking notes. Very dangerous with someone who has attentional issues. But I just set some rules around it. Like, don't open tabs. Just have it open on, like, one blank notepad. I could even, like, excommunicate myself from the internet. Like, put up some browser things where you're not allowed to use the internet while you're taking notes. I know those exist. I haven't had to use those extensions yet. But I also have either a physical piece of scrap paper or, like, a little notepad window open on my computer where I can capture any random thought that comes up during the lecture. Because a lot of times I'll be in a lecture, listening to my prof, and then I'll get the thought of like, oh, I wonder when that assignment in that other class is due. Or another thought like, oh, I wonder which bush would be really appropriate with that fruit tree. What ones would be best planted in combination or something. And what I'll do is, oh, it'll only take me 30 seconds to just like quickly look this up, blah, 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 I'll do a little Google. And then all of a sudden 15 minutes go by and I realize I'm not paying attention at all. And I've like been researching fruit guilds and stuff like that. So Instead of doing that, I don't let myself do that. But what I do let myself do is write down whatever random thought that seems so important that it has to interrupt the lecture. So look up fruit trees or something. I take some kind of note and I say, okay, after the lecture, self, you can do all the Googling on fruit trees that you want after the lecture. This idea, you're not going to forget it. It's here. It's written down. It's going to be there. You don't need to go like race off to Google right this second. Just chill. And I find that to be actually really helpful. And the second thing that I always do is have a hot beverage. I don't know why. I pay better attention to people when I have a hot beverage. I don't even have to be like, you know, constantly chugging. Just, if it's there, it doesn't even have to be coffee. Just something hot, something sippable, something that I can just kind of like have sometimes. I don't know. It's like it lasers in my focus in a really nice way. So I don't know why. It just is. I'm just working with that. But the wider points about being present and why I think this has really helped me in school is because the more that I'm in the lecture, the more that I'm paying attention to the teacher, the less work I'm going to have to do later. The more I absorb in that lecture, the less of a grind that, say, studying is going to be. The better my notes are going to be because I'm going to have like higher quality thoughts and questions and things related to it. So I try to really get absorbed into the lecture as much as possible, even if it's not my favorite topic or it's not my favorite lecture, whatever. And yeah, it just saves so much time in the long run because you don't have to then relearn something, which is a huge waste of time. So I don't like wasting my time. I love having time for friends and family and things like that. I'd much rather just like laser in on a lecture and then hang out with my kid and not be distracted while I do that. And that's really, with being present, it translates not just to being present with my schoolwork, with my classes, being really focused in the assignments when I'm working on written assignments, having a clear sense of what I'm doing, how much time I have to do it, having a good sense of the flow of my week. All of those things are so important. And the reason that I do that is so that I can spend time with loved ones, even if it's not as much as I would like right now, but with focus. So I can just like do a puzzle with my kid and not be thinking of the to-do list. Or I can just like go spend an evening with my friends without feeling like I'm sacrificing some, all like the time I need to write my paper or something like that. This hardcoreness about organization and planning and all these things, it's really just about living a better life, because there's pretty much nothing else that matters as much as my loved ones. And it's very easy for me to see that, there's almost nothing that will matter to me when it's all over. If I were to lose my ability to go to university, that would be sad. But if I were to lose a loved one, that would be devastating. So I'm always trying to orient to this idea that this is what matters most, these people. Like, all this university stuff is really fun, and I like it, and I love learning, and I want to keep doing it. But I want to make sure that it doesn't just totally absorb the rest of my life. And keeping firm borders on those things that I'm doing, on my class times and the schedule and all of that, is just so that I'm able to more deeply connect with the people that I care about. Imperfectly, I'm not always hitting the mark on this. The last 3 months, I was not a very good friend. I wasn't really there because I was sick. My daughter was sick. There was all these things that just a chaos storm. But that's always the goal, however imperfectly it's executed. Anyways, hopefully you got something out of this and that it wasn't too pretentious. Forgive me, all of you now, and also future Alicia, who is shaking her head at me attempting to give advice for university after doing it for a year. Anyways, I appreciate all of you, and I'll catch you in the next one.